Thank you for listening to Lawful Great Adventures, a travel story about four friends trying to get home in a hostile world. We're hosted on Anchor, and you can reach out to us at Twitter at @great_lawful, Instagram at Lawful Great Adventures, and Facebook. If you find you're enjoying the story, characters, world, or my adequate DMing, please leave us a review on iTunes or Podchaser, and do hit us up on social media. We love feedback, good and bad. This podcast is an actual play tabletop podcast, which basically means we will be playing the game Pathfinder, which is like Dungeons & Dragons, but a little slower paced and more complex, and improvising a story that's guided by the results of random dice rolls. I'll be your Dungeon Master, which just means I wrote the outline of the story, designed the world, and voice all of the supporting characters. Joining me will be four of my very close friends, who play the main characters of the story, and through their actions, shape the plot. I gave them a couple of rules when designing their characters. They all had to be childhood friends, they all had to grow up in the same farm town, they all had to have living family, and they all had to be teenagers. Here they are now.
So my name is Sydney. My character is Fane Bowen. Fane is a ranger, so that's kind of like a hunter. She uses a longbow and is knowledgeable about the woods and mountain areas. She has an animal companion who is a bark sheep ram named Bilibus, which is bark sheep. We are a creature that we created. I'll get more into that in a minute. She's 15 years old. She has long white hair that's usually pulled up into a high ponytail and purple eyes. She's shorter than Theo and Finn, but taller than Warren. Unlike myself in real life, I'm always shorter than everybody. Fane's mother, Mary, died in childbirth when Fane was 3. Fane lives and works on the town Barksheep Farm with her father, Marvin. They use the barksheep wool to make things like armor and furniture. Barksheep start out with chia seed coats that grow into bark-like wool. Barksheep can also climb trees. Fane generally prefers the company of animals over people and is kind of shy. She likes to stay hidden in the shadows. She's more of an observer than a talker, and she's kind of a mom and conscious to the party sometimes if things start to get out of hand.
My name is Alex. I play Warren Henriksen. He is an investigator. The class is kind of a blend of rogue and alchemist. It's really a skill monkey class. And we'll eventually start to be good in fights. Hopefully. Warren is 14 years old. He's standing just shy of 5 feet tall. He is very scrawny and messy because he's often running through the brush looking for interesting herbs and ingredients. He is the middle child of around 7 kids. His parents that own the towns in the Cracked Cauldron lost track of all the kids at one point and have named the youngest, newest child Warren as well. He's only a little salty about that. Warren works for his parents as a clerk and sometimes busboy for the inn, though after having recently had his coming-of-age day, he volunteered immediately for the town militia, half so he could be with his closest friends who are also in the militia, but half so he could get out of any more chores. He's a very curious kid and can very easily be distracted by new information, new ideas, strange things he finds anywhere. He personally has the largest library in town, and is fiercely protective of every scrap of writing he can find, which is very hard to, you know, keep track of all your stuff with that many other kids running around the house.
I'm John. I play Finn Cromwell. Finn is a witch thrall, which is a barbarian witch hybrid, so all the rage issues of your standard preteen boy with none of the utilitarian efforts, as well as a little bit of magic. Finn is about 17 years old. Finn has a tendency to be a little angry at times. Finn is shorter than Theo, but taller than everybody else. He's a bit of a wiry build, usually covered with bruises and scratches from spending time in the swamps away from his family. Most people don't see him as a barbarian because he's not quite, you know, the hulking beast that most barbarians are. His family life's a bit difficult. He lives at the Cromwell Estate, which used to be one of the well-to-do families in Path of Stone. However, after my mother lost my biological father and married Arthur Cromwell, one of the more less well-to-do constables in town, the estate kind of went to hell. So Finn spends most of his time out in the bogs, which is the only place he really feels safe and really feels connected. So Finn tends to wear three pieces of armor, which are the only real memories he has of his biological father, which is a shoulder pauldron, a glove, and one boot. So he looks a little bit mixed-matched. Finn is actually the town woodcutter. Unlike everyone else who actually has a job, Finn just kind of takes odd jobs cutting as much wood as he can using the only axe that he could ever find. But it seems to hold up well. Finn is an interesting duality of character because, again, being a witch thrall and having two major influences, his mother and Arthur, his stepfather, he's constantly torn between the caring magic of his mother and the absolute unfettered rage of his stepfather. So that's a tightrope he's not very good at. Finn doesn't really have a great home life. You know, again, part of the reason Finn spends so much time in the bog is because he was contacted there by a patron, an amalgamation of skulls and slime and mushrooms known that calls itself Wee. That's where Finn learned his magic from. The most closest thing to family are his friends because they're the only ones that really accept him for who he is.
Hey there, I'm Rabbit, and I play Theo Rosefield, a brawler, which is a monk-fighter hybrid that is built around unarmed strikes. Theo is 18 years old and is around 5'11". He's built like an upside-down triangle. Large arms, wide shoulders, built for his day-to-day jobs of being a farmer and the toughest guy in Pathestone. Theo is the sole caretaker of his family's farmland and produce stand, left to him after his parents died in a tragic car accident. He is also the sole caretaker of his kid siblings, the twins Remus and Greta. Theo is a very practical young man, preferring the simplest solution to almost every problem. He can also be crass and prone to violence when pressed.
So before we even launched the campaign, we did a little prequel episode that wasn't taped. And in the prequel episode, the four characters, 5 years younger than their established ages, wandered into the wilderness to go into the temple of a god to seek an offering to save the life of one of the boys in town by the name of Alvin Biddy. As part of this offering, each of them was branded with a special tattoo that marked them as being of interest to one of the 22 gods in the world. So we're going to go around the circle and everyone's going to talk about their tattoo really quick. Who wants to go first? Finn.
So Finn is marked with the mark of Malome, which is the deity of death and finalization. Finn's tattoo is a mushroom on his left ribs.
Warren's tattoo is the mark of Donrai, which is a pair of wands on his forearms. On the interior, they're pointed towards his hands.
And who is Donrai?
Donrai is the god of knowledge, basically, and the search of it.
Fane has a dog bite tattoo on her right ankle. She's marked by Mercatus, the youngest god and the creator of mortals.
Theo has been marked by Om, the god of personal sacrifice and martyrdom, and it is a noose knot of rope around his left ankle going up to his lower calf.
But what about the world they live in? The Dissidiac universe is thoughtful and spiritually responsive, such that the desires, passions, feelings, and imaginings of the people that inhabit it can shape the world. The forces of the world are driven by 22 deities that make up the pantheon called the Dissidiac. Each of the gods is original and based off of the personality of one of the major arcana from the tarot. So you have Death, the Emperor, the Chariot, and so forth. Their identities and personalities will be revealed throughout the first campaign, which is called The Two Sons, and it's based on an old pre-imperial parable that goes like this. Let's remind ourselves where we've been. There was once a great king, and two sons, and two moons. And one son was gentle and used his great magic to advance his father's empire and build great cities, the likes of which you have never seen. And one son was wicked and used his magic for vanity to make himself forever youthful. And he played as a god, twisting men into new life of his own image and building his own kingdoms from their shape. And one day, the gentle son went too far and gave his father the lesser moon in the sky. And it came crashing down with terrible calamity. And there was a war between the two sons. And their father stepped in. And even though the gentle son caused the calamity, the king cast out the wicked son and sealed his people away with a covenant held fast by Nariv and Relia. And their kingdoms would not reunite until the last soul who remembered was forgotten. It was the crashing of the second moon, referred to as the Caer Fall, which according to legend brought magic into the world. Magic in the Dissidiac is made manifest by the clarity of thought of the studious architects, the creativity of the inspired teleologists, and the pure faith of pious pilgrims. Magic also breathes out from the natural power of the wilderness, which I'll talk about next. The continent this story takes place in is divided into cities, the diaspora surrounding them, and the wilderness. The cities are massive edifices to civilization and wealth protected by powerful magic and high walls. This is necessary because anything in this world that is not actively and constantly curated by human hands is quickly overtaken by the hostile wilderness. It is in the depths of the wilderness that the rules that make sense to humans begin to break down, and monsters that reflect the twisted will of mortals can emerge to punish them. But between the great cities and the cruel wilderness, in a space curated by humans but not dominated by power and politics, is the diaspora. The Diaspin are a hard-working people that carry the world on their back. The kingdoms excise taxes and offer protection, but even invading armies leave the Diaspin alone, only going so far as changing the banners over their sleepy hamlets as their armies march through. One such town, in the southern part of the eastern coastal kingdom of Arrayan, is a place called Pathistone. Tucked in the Arrayan foothills, Pathistone is built around the crossroads of two major merchant routes, one heading from the kingdom of Raelin to the west towards the eastern coast of the Diantic Ocean, and one running from Arrayan itself to Arrayan's rival southern nation of Chakunqua. The politics aren't important, but what is important is the passage of merchants and travelers that pass through Pathistone seasonally who fill the town with stories, knowledge, and gossip from the surrounding world. You see, most Diaspin are born and die in their hometown, but Pathistone is host to retired professionals from the city, fallen nobles, and veteran soldiers that bring their unique experiences to this otherwise boring town. Pathistone is home to 700 souls who spend their seasons farming, cutting wood, raising families, and celebrating goofy local festivals honoring quirky events from forgotten generations. The town itself is marked with an enormous black slate stone that juts out of the ground like a sundial. The people of Pathistone use this marker in the middle of the town square for time, direction, and as a meeting place. So what is the story we're going to tell in this world? Well, we're going to begin with a prologue set in Pathistone where our characters are from. We'll get to meet their families, get to know the world a little bit from their small town perspective, and watch them struggle with challenges far bigger than Pathistone itself. After that, however, Lawful Great Adventures is a journey story about four friends on the road together. Sometimes the pace is slow, sometimes the lore is a little opaque, and sometimes little bits of plot or story get left behind, just like a real adventure. We'll see the people our heroes meet, the obstacles they face, how they fail, and how they succeed, all while growing as friends and people, and discovering the secrets of a world some would prefer stay hidden. So thank you, and please enjoy Lawful Great Adventures.
I'm gonna take another swing with the axe.
Alright.
Get the motherfucker this time!
Quit squirming! Quit squirming!
Oh, you son of a bitch!
That's the big 2-0. That's the big 2-0.
That's 20. The stuff.
Nat 20!
Oh!
Nat 20!
Oh my god!
Turn the board. That's the way you do it! You're a monster!